from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So, is intelligence a function of the super soul or of the of our free will, or is it a function of the consciousness? Like, I'm not very clear with my question. I know,
okay,
but
I understand. Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
Because we can use it, as you said, like, we can very intelligently try to enjoy matter. At the same time, we can try to transcend. And you mentioned that, you know, our best bet is to use our intelligence to seek higher pleasure, or like the higher platforms.
I got the question. So what exactly is the intelligence, you know? We say that it's come from Krishna. So is it a gift of Krishna, or is it a use of our free will? So how can we understand what the intelligence is so that we can use it properly? Otherwise, people can use the intelligence also very improperly. Yeah. See, we can look at the intelligence in two ways. One is that it is a faculty that we have. And second is that it is a gift that is given by God. I'll reconcile both. Let's look at first the faculty we have. Just like, say, we have some muscles. Now, just by being born and having a body, we have some energy level with us. We can lift up certain weights. But if we go and do workouts regularly, we exercise, then those muscles become stronger. And when the muscles are stronger, they can lift bigger weights. So we can say at one level, the intelligence is like a faculty which we have. So this is a faculty which enables us to differentiate between the short term and the long term. Between, say, the immediate and the ultimate. Between the philosophical perspective, between the material and the spiritual. Basically, intelligence is the discerning faculty. That discerning faculty is something which we human beings have been given, by which we can prepare, we can foresee the future, and we can prepare for the future. So this is a gift which we have. All of us have this. And depending on how much we use it, it will, just like how much we exercise our muscles, the muscles will grow. Like that, how much we use our intelligence, depending on that, it will develop. So this is, I could say, the intelligence as a faculty which exists independent of its purpose. It is simply dependent on its use. See, purpose means why it is being used. Use means simply it is being used. So, you know, somebody can become can exercise their muscles and become a big bodybuilder, and then they become a thug. They beat up others. So, or somebody can become build their muscles, and they can use it for law protection, for protection of others. Law, for the purposes of law. Both ways is possible. But the muscles are muscles. If you have them, that makes you strong. So like that, intelligence is intelligence, whether it is used for godly purposes or ungodly purposes. So, and this intelligence can be developed. So there are different kinds of intelligence. Some people have musical intelligence, some people have linguistic intelligence. Some people have logical intelligence. There can be different kinds of intelligences also. And depending on how people develop them, they will become strong in that field. So intelligence in this understanding is a tool, whichever way you use it. But there is a difference between intelligence and muscles. Because whereas muscles are simply tools which we can use for various purposes, and intelligence is also a tool, but intelligence is a tool which is categorically different, because it is a tool that also guides us about how to use various tools. My muscles don't guide me what to do, but my intelligence is a tool, and it also guides me what I should do, what I should not do. One of the aspects of intelligence, or the central aspect of intelligence, we could say, is deciding what to do, what not to do. That's not the only aspect, but that is also an important aspect. From the spiritual perspective, the decision-making capacity in terms of what is short term, what is long term. That is what is the most important aspect of intelligence. So the Bhagavatam often talks about how somebody might be a Brahmana, but that person may not be a devotee. And compared to that, somebody may be low born, but that person, they're devotees. Prahlad Maharaj inspires to Narasimhadeva in 7.9.13 says that actually, that my lord, if a brahmana is proud of one's intelligence and is not devoted to you, then that brahmana cannot deliver oneself. On the other hand, if there's a low-born person, if that person is devoted to you, then what to speak of oneself, that person will deliver one's whole dynasty. So, there are two different points. There is, we could say, the content and there is the consequence. In terms of content, the brahmana has intelligence. And it is also his quality. Vipra, Dvishada Guna Yuta, Dharminda Bhava. There are 12 qualities of a brahmana. They have those qualities, but they don't have devotion. On the other hand, somebody doesn't have that content in terms of intelligence. But because they are devoted to Krishna, the consequences are auspicious. Supremely auspicious. So this means that there is the intelligence there is the aspect of the intelligence which guides us about how to use our intelligence. And how to use everything else that we have. Not just the intelligence. But everything else that we have, that is the discerning capacity within the intelligence. And it is that which is primarily developed by scriptural study, by sadhana, by swadhyaya and sadhana. What happens is, so I earlier talked about different kinds of intelligences, musical intelligence, logical intelligence, linguistic intelligence. But from this philosophical perspective, there are these two things. There is discerning or discrimination. And there is determination. Discrimination means the capacity to understand what is right and what is wrong. And determination is the capacity to do what is right and to avoid that which is wrong. So these are the faculties of the intelligence that are the most important for spiritual growth. In fact, actually they are important for growth in any field. Even if somebody wants to become a champion athlete, they also have to be determined to keep training, keep practicing wisely. But let's focus on spiritual growth right now. So, tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vastito gyatma shastram dhanoptam karma kartum iharasi. Therefore, Krishna says, with scripture, know what is to be done and what is not to be done and act accordingly. So, scripture practically guides us in terms of discrimination. Swadhyaya will lead to our discrimination faculty increasing. So discrimination is called as viveka in Sanskrit. Viveka buddhi. Viveka is discrimination. And then there is dhruti. Dhruti is determination. Determination is what is developed by sadhana. When we chant, when we associate with devotees, when we connect with Krishna through purifying activities, then our determination becomes stronger. Yes, I want to do it, I'll do it. So it is not necessary that, say, a person who is not very linguistically intelligent, just by practice being bhakti, they will become very linguistically intelligent. By linguistical intelligence, I would say that, say, the capacity to memorize verses. Verses deal with words. So some people are just brilliant at that. And some people, you know, for them, memorizing verses causes them so much tension. I can't do this. Now, yes, we all, as I said, they're like muscles. Everybody can improve their muscles by some workout. But, you know, we also have some innate muscles, and it's not that everybody can become a big bodybuilder just by exercise. The body also has some amount of limitations to it. So it's not necessary that by the practice of bhakti, our linguistic intelligence will improve or our musical intelligence will improve. Not necessary. Or our artistic intelligence will improve. But by the practice of bhakti, our discerning intelligence, the discrimination and determination, that will definitely improve. So, and now this is what Krishna says, I will give you that. So when Krishna says buddhir buddhimatam asmi, he's talking about in two different contexts. One is, whenever we see any intelligent person, naturally we're impressed. Somebody can say, multiply 13 digit numbers in their head and give the product. Brilliant. So you should understand, you know, in India there was a mathematical genius, Shakuntala Devi. She could do like this. You know, just the calculator will take more time than her. And then at least the calculator type the numbers. You just speak the numbers and she gives the answer. She asks, how do you get the answer? She's not like doing calculation. Oh, okay, this thing to this, this sum, I carry over. Nothing. Just two numbers are given to her and the answer comes from within from her. That's what she says. I just get the answer. So how is that coming? That is, Krishna is giving that intelligence ultimately. So just like some people have good memory capacity, some people have good mathematical capacity. So when we see somebody who has a lot of intelligence, we get attracted by that. What we should see is that their intelligence is coming from Krishna. If this person is so intelligent, how intelligent Krishna must be. So I can respect that person for their intelligence, but I focus on Krishna. So when Krishna says, I am the intelligence of intelligent people, that is meant to help us redirect our attraction from those intelligent people towards Krishna. Now that is one kind of connection between Krishna and intelligence. That intelligence is a gift given by Krishna to them. But it can be, rather than getting attracted to them alone, we can get attracted to Krishna. The other is the decision-making faculty. Krishna says, Tesham satat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. So Krishna uses buddhi. In 10.10 he says, if you practice bhakti, then I will give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. So buddhi yoga is a compound word. Now there are different kinds of yoga. There is karma yoga, jnana yoga, there is ashtanga yoga, there is bhakti yoga. There is no particular process called buddhi yoga, distinctly. What does buddhi yoga mean? It means two things, compound words. It is the buddhi that enables us to do yoga. It is the buddhi that enables us to do yoga. Yoga is, the word yoga means connection, connecting with God, ultimately, connecting with supreme spiritual reality. So the intelligence that enables us to connect to the supreme spiritual reality, that is buddhi yoga. So the buddhi that enables us to do yoga, that is buddhi yoga. Another meaning of buddhi yoga also, if you take the second word as beginning, the yoga that leads to buddhi. That will refer to bhakti yoga. So Prabhupada uses that second meaning whenever he translates buddhi yoga as bhakti yoga. The yoga, bhakti yoga is the yoga by which Krishna gives us intelligence and we move closer to him. So for us, as sadhakas, we can try to exercise and develop our various intellectual faculties, whatever we have. Now we can try to become more musical, we can try to memorize more verses, all those things we can try. And by practice we can improve a little bit. But what is most important, what is Krishna's mercy is this decision-making faculty. Now, as we keep practicing bhakti, right now, say we are struggling our attachment against our attachments. Say no to something and then again the temptation comes and we fall for it. Again we say no, again the temptation comes and we fall for it. This is a struggle through which we'll go through at present. We may go through for a long time. But at one particular point, you know, Krishna will give us that realization. This is not enjoyable. Why am I doing this? This is simply causing me suffering. Why do I need to do this? Just let me give it up. So that clear insight which comes, which makes the decision so clear for us, that is Krishna's mercy. So that will come over a period of time. That is purification, that is realization. That will also come. So to summarize, I gave a long answer. See, intelligence is a faculty which we have, which we can develop by practice, just like muscles are developed by practice. But intelligence is a distinctive faculty because it is a faculty that guides us to use all other faculties, including intelligence itself. So the intelligence as a faculty in terms of processing matter, whether it is music or words or places, like some people have very good geographical intelligence, you know. They're driving, just go one place, they remember. Some people, they go 10 times and they come here before. So this sort of so intelligence and the capacity to process matter, that may not change drastically for people, even if they practice bhakti. But intelligence as a faculty of understanding what is the purpose of processing matter and what is the purpose of living itself, that intelligence is developed by bhakti. So whatever I have, for what I use, that intelligence is developed by the practice of bhakti, by which we can make right decisions. And as we can move closer to Krishna. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Discerning.